Hey, what's up, everybody? My name is David E.J. Berger. You can find me at Carl Jr. on Twitter. And you are now listening to Training Camp Dialed In. I'm bringing you the best of the day's news from the 2019 NFL training camps. And most days, not all days, but most days, I'll be featuring phone calls with writers and reporters from the actual sidelines of camp. There's a reason there's a phone in the pod logo, folks. I'll be getting their first-hand accounts of the action from a fantasy perspective. This is the place to be all August long, as I'll be bringing you 3 to 4 shows per week filled with fantasy football knowledge that's going to help you win your leagues this season. So you need to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or Podbean. This is season 2, people. We did this all last August. We're doing it all this August. So stick around. Let's have some fun. Welcome, everybody, to the show. This is episode 4. If you've been with us before, you're excited. I'm excited. If you've never listened to me before, you're unsure. You're scared. That finger is right on that next button. But I hope you stick around because guess what? Yesterday was an absolute fire podcast appearance by Zach Stevens from BSN Denver. If you could find a more definitive guide to the Denver Broncos, I'll probably be like, okay, yeah, that was pretty good. But you'd be hard pressed to do so. It was a giant podcast appearance for Zach. An okay performance for host David Berger. I'm going to call that the I Love It episode. I think I said it after literally every one of his answers. But you know what? He deserved it. The information was quality. And that's what we're bringing you here on Training Camp Dialed In every day. And today is no different. And why don't we kick it off with a little news? Oh, what's that? Oh, getting a show note here. I guess we don't have time for the news. Okay, well, one day, you know, it's a training camp podcast where we're supposed to be covering training camp news, but you know, one day we'll actually do that. But we should cut to the real reason you're here. I'm talking to Kevin Bowen. He's a reporter and multimedia content producer for 1070 The Fan, Indy Sports Center. He's been covering the Colts since 2012. You can find him at KBowen1070 on Twitter. He's going to give us the definitive guide to the 2019 Indianapolis Colts, a team that's going to be very exciting for fantasy. So what are we waiting for? Let's bring him on. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Bowen. And if you're wondering, yes, I did record this outside. I'm a man of nature. It's summertime, people.
What's up, David?
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Good, yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm excited. It's August. We're about to talk some football. Is there really anything better?
Nah, there's definitely nothing better. Yeah, it seems like this off-season per usual flown by, so I'm excited to get started here.
All right, well, you were a man in Indianapolis last year. You're back once again, so thank you so much. And why don't we just hop right in?
No problem at all, man. Thanks for having me on again.
All right, great. Well, last year with first-time head coach Frank Wright, this Colts offense shot up to the top 5 in points scored, coming in at number 5 with 433 points. And to get to that total, they weren't afraid to use a finally fully healthy Andrew Luck. They were second in pass attempts with 644 behind the Steelers. Fantasy gamers who took a leap of faith were happy with Luck. We will talk more about him in a minute. But from what you've been seeing at camp, can we expect a lot of carryover and continuity from this offense in 2019 in terms of scheme and formations?
I think it's a really good question, David. Something that Frank Reich has actually been pretty vocal about here in the offseason that, you know, he wants the Colts to be a top 5, top 7 rushing attack. And I know that might scare some people away from, you know, possibly drafting Andrew Luck or maybe entice them to draft Marlon Mack, which are, you know, all questions that we'll get to later. But I do think it's still going to be an offense that has propensity to throw the football a little bit more, and ultimately that's what they will do. They do play a loaded schedule with opposing quarterbacks that are on the far elite end of things versus where last year's schedule was. So I think they'll be in more shootouts, and I do think they're going to throw the football at a pretty high level. I know Reich, when he talks about being a top 5, top 7 rushing offense, you know, I tend to think that comes more late in game situations. You know, can you build a lead and can you be a 4-minute offense? And that's primarily running the football, you know, the close out games in the fourth quarter with a 1-score, 2-score lead, things like that. So, yeah, I'm sort of stage with that. I still think with Andrew Luck's right arm and the weapons that you've invested this offseason at the receiver position and the help you have at tight end, I still think the Colts are going to be a team that relies on throwing the football more so than running it.
So in theory, they want to change their ideology, but in practicality, they're probably still going to be slinging that thing around.
That's kind of my thinking. That's a really good way to put it. I know at times last year, there were a few moments where I thought Frank Reich teetered on a bit of stubbornness and sticking to the run, and then there were some moments I thought he didn't stick with the run kind of enough. So I'll be very curious to see how committed he is to this philosophy, but I go back to a couple things. It's a very difficult schedule, like I mentioned, with kind of high-octane offenses that you're playing. So I think you're going to be in more shootouts. And when you give the amount of money you gave Devin Funchess in free agency, you spend a second-round pick on Paris Campbell, you have the health of tight end and the depth of tight end that you do. I still believe this is a team that is going to throw the football, you know, pretty close to where they threw it last year. I know not like week three or week four or five last year when Luck chucked it, you know, 50 and 60 times per game. They definitely want to stay away from that. But I still think for the most part, they are going to be a team that focuses on that passing game.
Obviously, this offense depends a lot on Andrew Luck. And once again, his name is associated with injury. But this time with a calf strain, he's come out as optimistic about his eligibility for week one. How optimistic are you as someone who knows this team? And if healthy, how high is his ceiling now that he's going into his second year with this coaching regime?
Well, I'll start with the latter. I think if healthy, he should be an MVP candidate in late December. There's no doubt in my mind that that is the next step for Andrew Luck as a quarterback. Like you said, David, he's in the second year of Frank Reich's system, a very, very competent offensive mind. As a play caller, the offensive line remains intact after a very successful season pass protection-wise last year. You know, I've already touched on you've added some weapons at the skill group as well. So it's time for Andrew Luck to take the next step. You know, if health cooperates, as we sit here right now, I think there's reason to have some questions about that. But if it does, Andrew Luck should be right up there with the Patrick Mahomes, Drew Brees, you know, insert your MVP candidate here sort of talk. Now, health-wise, as we sit here right now, a little bit over a month from the start of the regular season, we haven't seen Andrew Luck participate in a single team practice all off-season long. No 11-on-11 sessions for him. The last time we saw him in those, you know, atmospheres, it was the Kansas City playoff loss. And when you talk about a calf injury, he's also described a bit of an ankle ailment as well. It comes down more so to me of just how effective can he be. I still think he's going to start week one. And I think you can play on a bit of a bum calf. But when you watch Andrew Luck as a quarterback, we're very used to what he can do off script with his legs, making plays with his feet, and just keeping things alive, subtle movements in the pocket. And at times I think we take that for granted watching Luck go to work, but that's such a huge, huge component of his game. So I think that is a real concern of just how effective can he be. Right now, I'm not sure if he's going to play in the preseason. I probably tend to think he won't play. So, you know, publicly, you know, training camp preseason game-wise, we might not get to see Andrew Luck at all in a live team setting in the month of August. So week one against the Chargers could be our first exposure to him in those sorts of settings. So that's where my question mainly lies with this situation, is just the effectiveness of a guy that is so, so good in making plays, you know, after kind of the run-of-mill five-step, two-three read have gone awry on a given play.
Well, you mentioned Luck going to work, and I think, you know, the narrative right now, I guess I don't think a lot of people realize that he has not been out there. So this is why we're here. We're getting the real deal scoop, so thank you so much.
Yeah, he has. Right now, as you sit here, the Colts are 11 practices into their training camp. Andrew Luck has been on the field for three of those 11 practices. I think he's missed a seven in a row complete days when he was out there for those three practices. He did not participate after 7-on-7 drills. One of those practices, all he did is individual work. The other two, he did participate in some 7-on-7 stuff, which obviously there's no pocket, there's no pass rush, there's none of that going on. So but that's the question that I have. Andrew Luck has been the most limited Colts player on their 90-man roster this offseason in terms of his activity in a full team 11-on-11 setting in practice. Now, the reason for optimism is, you know, we're still over 4 weeks away from the start of the regular season. Having said that, this is now a over 3 month long calf injury that is not healed clearly enough to have Luck participate in team settings. And so is another week off or a week and a half off, is that going to do the trick for him? You know, when he was out there for those 7-on-7 sessions, he mentioned that, you know, he felt like he wanted to get into less variable settings. You know, when he needed to make an aggressive movement, he thought there's a possibility he could yank or it could pull. Well, I mean, we're all football fans. We watched our fair share of practice. 7-on-7, there's not a whole lot of, you know, intense movement for a quarterback. What happens when there's a spontaneous movement that he's got to make a decision in a split second of Joey Bosa falling into him on a third down in week one? So that's where I have those questions. Again, time is still on Luck's side. He's got a lot of time. But I don't think the Colts can even say with a whole lot of confidence, because they haven't seen him in major, intense practice settings just yet. So that's where I think it's very fair to have questions right now about where Andrew Luck is from an effective standpoint come week one.
I love it, Kevin. Thank you so much. I feel like we know the situation now, so thanks a lot. And for fantasy gamers, keep monitoring those injury reports, because that ceiling is there, but there is some concern. All right, let's move on to the pass catchers. With Luck in as QB, T.Y. Hilton has been fairly consistent, averaging around 80 catches, about 16 yards per catch, and over 1,000 yards with 5 to 7 touchdowns in their tenure together. Have you seen anything that would lead you to believe he would deviate from those numbers this season?
No, I haven't. He's been easily one or two best players in the Colts' training camp. I don't think he gets enough credit league-wide for how consistent of a player he's been since being taken in the third round in 2012. He's a 5'9 guy, but I think he plays bigger than that a lot of times. You know, he fought through an ankle injury that has not affected him at all this offseason. He played through that last year where he barely practiced late in the season and still had the most receiving yards in the NFL over the final 2 months of the year. So I know the Colts have added some other weapons, but the innate ability that Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton have to be on the same page is rare. They're one of the best quarterback receiver duos in the NFL, bar none. And I see no signs of T.Y. Hilton slowing down here in his eighth NFL season.
After T.Y., there's some new faces in that room. Let's start with Devin Funchess, who came over from Carolina. Fantasy-wise, he's about as popular as the kale salad in Texas. How has his camp been? How has his camp been, and do people need to open up their minds and have some Funchess?
You know, it's something to where Frank Reich was obsessed with this acquisition in the offseason. He went to Chris Ballard, their general manager, and said, you know, I want Devin Funchess here. What we've seen out of Devin Funchess this offseason, I don't know if he's worth, you know, the $10 million that his contract, I think it was $7 million guaranteed. You haven't seen a whole lot of drops from him, but I think he would really benefit from Andrew Luck being on the field right now. I just haven't seen a consistent amount of team production from him and Jacoby Brissett that I think you would like. Some of those days that T.Y. Hilton is resting, we haven't seen Funchess, you know, be that 3-4-5 catch guy in the team practice. So I know Frank Reich really likes the route running ability of Devin Funchess. And at times, I just feel like we can trust Frank Reich because he's such a good offensive mind with this signing. But I'm not 100% sold on Funchess all of a sudden being a dominant number two wideout where he's catching, you know, having 900 yards receiving and 8 or 9 touchdowns, something like that. We'll see if all the attention to T.Y. Hilton allows for more favorable opportunities for Funchess. And honestly, just work with Andrew Luck. You know, that goes back to the Luck thing. You know, he's barely practiced at all this season. That hurts him getting on the same page with a guy like Funchess or a guy like Paris Campbell as well.
You mentioned Paris Campbell. That's where we'll go next. Anyone familiar with the draft process knows how much the coaches and the front office valued this guy. Coach Reich has already come out and praised him as more than a gadget guy. What are we seeing from him, and what's a realistic expectation production-wise, if we have a healthy Luck, for Paris this season?
Yeah, that's probably the most popular question I would say I get this time of year. Unfortunately, David, we haven't seen Paris Campbell on the practice field since that day when Frank Reich praised Paris Campbell, just as much as you're going to hear a coach praise a player. He raved about Paris Campbell, what he did on that Sunday practice a few weeks back, you know, in one-on-one drills and in some red zone work, of showing more of a complete route tree as a route runner, which I think was the biggest knock or the biggest question on him coming out of Ohio State. But a right hamstring injury that has forced him to miss, I think it's 7 straight practices. I don't think he's going to be a returner for this team this season, but as long as he can get back healthy, and I don't think it's anything too serious, I still think he's going to have a pretty big role for this offense. It might not be the quantity of touches, but I think the quality of those touches. You know, Frank Reich knows, even if Paris Campbell doesn't get to that full route tree guy in his rookie season, this is still a guy that is going to be a gadget, hybrid type of guy that has incredible ability when touching the football to make a big play. You know, I go back to the stat from Ohio State from last season. I want to say he had 3 touchdowns of over 40 yards last year for Ohio State. And on those 3 plays, 2 of them came behind touches when Campbell initially touched the football behind the line of scrimmage. I think one was just a screen behind the line of scrimmage. The other was a kind of a jet sweep. And then the other was a little dump pass where all of a sudden Campbell just turned up field and took a little 5-yard pass through the air and turned it into a huge chunk touchdown. So those are the types of plays that I think Frank Reich salivates about, where yards after catch, they were an issue for the Colts last season. Campbell should help solve that.
Yeah, it sounds like, though, with an unhealthy Luck, an unhealthy Campbell, I'm not sure you're making that investment in a redraft league. This is a guy you might want to pick up on waivers about a month and a half into the season.
Yeah, I think it's a really good question. You know, it depends how deep, I would say, some of your leagues are. You know, I still think Campbell could be a guy that, you know, if you're in a 14-person league, something like that, it might be a little feast or famine with him, but again, he doesn't need a whole lot of touches to impact the game. You would happily take 3 catches for 75 yards and a 60-yard touchdown out of Paris Campbell in a given week. So this next month, I think, will be big to monitor where Luck is at health-wise and also where Campbell is as well.
Anyone else worth mentioning in the wide receiver room? I know Deion Kane is getting some buzz. There's Dynasty loved Ashton Doolin and Penny Hart. What are we seeing from this group?
Yeah, I'd be staying away from Hart and Doolin. Kane would be definitely the name to watch over the next month. How does he look in preseason games? He's healthy from the ACL, not favoring that knee at all. We have yet to really see him, though, in team sessions, you know, starting reps in training camp. How does he look in games? You know, he tore that ACL in the preseason opener last year, so I think that's a big hurdle for him to clear mentally and also physically to get used to an NFL game setting. So I think it's vital for where Deion Kane is at. And then also, I think you got to keep in mind Chester Rogers. You know, if Paris Campbell is hurt, you know, is Rogers that slot guy in that number 3 wideout? Again, I probably wouldn't waste a draft pick on him, but it's worth monitoring if Paris Campbell and Deion Kane and maybe Devin Funchess just don't fill the role that I think a lot of people expect them to fill this season.
I love it. Moving on to the running backs, Marlon Mack got healthy and came on in the middle of last season, winning fantasy gamers a lot of weeks. In Dynasty, he was a popular offseason buy as a result. How has his camp been, and can we expect some of those monster weeks again this season? I know you mentioned they're trying to focus on the run game more this year.
Well, I would say the one thing about Marlon Mack is he's been durable, and I know that was an issue this time last year. He tweaked his hamstring in the preseason opener last year out in Seattle, was really limited, missed probably 4 of the first 5 games of the season. He's practiced every single day this offseason, which I think is huge for him going into his 3rd NFL season. And he's a bell cow. You know, Nyheim Hines is your 3rd down running back for Frank Reich, but Marlon Mack is going to get those carries on 1st and 2nd down, and you know, he's going to run behind an offensive line that helped him finish last season 6th in the league in rushing yards per carry. So I think a 1,000-yard season, as long as health cooperates, is easily doable for Marlon Mack. Colts think really highly of him. They sat out the Le'Veon Bell sweepstakes and, you know, didn't draft a running back at all. So I think they view Marlon Mack in very high regard, and I expect him to be that lead bell cow guy.
So he sounds like he could be a steal in that third and fourth round of fantasy and redraft leagues.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, again, he's been healthy through this offseason. I think as long as that cooperates for him, I still think he's a guy that is going to be a huge part of his offense.
Nyheim Hines is a popular guy in fantasy right now for those zero RB enthusiasts. How have they been using him? Is it still that pass catching? You mentioned it already, but let's dig into that a little bit. What's a realistic expectation for his upside?
I think Hines, like I said, he's going to be the third down back. You know, last year he caught 63 balls, which is a very high number. It was the third most of any rookie in the NFL, I think behind Saquon Barkley and Calvin Ridley. So that's a rare group to be in for Nyheim Hines, who's a fourth-round pick. I think that number will come down a bit because you've added guys like Funchess and you think you're going to get more consistency out of the receiver position and his tight end group as well, health-wise. But as that third down back, you know, I still think he's going to be a reliable option for this team out in the backfield. So I don't see him, again, reaching that 63 mark, but I still think he is a guy that is going to be, you know, a reliable third down option with the ability to, you know, slot out a little bit when that is needed as well.
Jordan Wilkins was a popular name last preseason, but he's a lot less popular now. Barring injury, is there any way he sees the field?
I don't think he's worth a draft pick unless an injury occurs. Now, if an injury occurs to Marlon Mack, I mean, Jordan Wilkins could skyrocket, you know, up that need sort of list for you of how important all of a sudden he's going to be. I mean, he was your week one opening day starter last year when Marlon Mack was out. So, but Frank Reich did not use the third running back really at all late last season. So, again, unless an injury occurs, I can't see Marlon Mack or Jordan Wilkins having a huge role for this team fantasy-wise.
Let's touch real quick on that line we mentioned before. It's one of the best in the league, led by Quentin Nelson, an absolute stud. Should we expect more of the same this season?
I wouldn't see why not. You know, it's an O-line that brings back everybody. It's also a group that is under new leadership this year, longtime assistant Howard Mudd is back. Chris Strausser came over from Denver as well. So it's a line that will try a little bit different approach, you know, pass blocking wise and a little bit run blocking wise as well. But I think it's something that when you have the continuity up front like they've had, and they've been a relatively healthy group here in the offseason, I firmly believe that it's going to be, you know, one of the, you know, top 10 offensive lines in the league this season.
This is usually the part of the show where we ramp to the end because most teams' tight end rooms are completely garbage for fantasy purposes. But the Colts have two guys that have made fantasy gamers very happy the last couple seasons in Jack Doyle and Eric Ebron. What are we seeing from those guys?
Well, start with Ebron. You know, he's a guy that obviously was a fantasy darling last year with 13 touchdown receptions. I think that number comes down a bit just because you have more options around Andrew Luck here in 2019. Ebron has made it very clear that he wants to see the field more, and in order to do that, he's got to become a better blocker. Because in Frank Reich's system, if you aren't going to be a versatile tight end option that can help in the run game or the pass game, he's not going to play you on those run downs. You know, you play Jack Doyle and Mo Alie-Cox a lot more in those situations. So Doyle, it's been a little bit banged up with an oblique injury here that'll keep him out probably in the 1 to 2 week range. But when he's been out there, he looked healthy from the hip and the kidney injuries that ended the season last year. Just an incredibly reliable, trustworthy option, not only for Frank Reich, more importantly, for Andrew Luck as well. So I think both of those guys are draftable depending on what you're looking for. You know, again, Ebron might be more of the 3-catch, 45-yard touchdown, whereas Doyle might be 6 for 60, and you hope he gets in the end zone, you know, inside the 10-yard line or something like that. But I still think both of those guys are going to be very key elements to this offense.
It really is something to consider how your league is formatted, because that is going to be your guiding light for deciding between those two guys, huh?
Definitely. Yeah, I think it's all about, you know, how much depth you have in your league, what you're looking for in that tight end position based off your other roster guys as well. So I think there is value, though, for Doyle and Ebron as well, and I'll be really curious to see how the additions of Paris Campbell and Devin Funchess impact their roles.
Who would you draft between those guys?
Oh, gosh. If health collapses, cooperates for both. I probably might be more of a Doyle guy just because I think consistency is going to be there week in and week out, especially playing time-wise. I'd rather have a guy that's going to be on the field a lot than a guy that I'm relying on a couple red zone touches a game just to save the day for me. So that's why I would probably go with Doyle, just more of the consistency over the course of his career, especially with Andrew Luck versus Ebron, who, you know, had a very nice season, of course, Pro Bowl year, but outside of the 20, he wasn't really much of a big fantasy threat for you.
Yeah, I have Ebron on the team, but I do think that I'm looking to add Doyle this year. But you mentioned Mo Alie-Cox. He's got some buzz going from the offseason. Is he carrying that into camp? How what's he doing?
You know, he's a guy that's your third tight end, but with Doyle missing some time, you know, he's gotten a ton of starting reps. And, you know, I think Frank Reich will be open to some three tight end formations. You know, I don't think he's worthy of a draft pick, but again, if an injury were to happen to Doyle or Ebron, Mo Alie-Cox is a definite play in leagues. You know, we obviously saw the catch he had in Oakland last year that is on pretty much every NFL highlight from the 2018 season. Just a tremendous grab that he made. And he's closer to Doyle than Ebron. And by that, I mean, in the coach's eyes, they feel like he can be a versatile blocking presence on rundowns. And then, of course, still be a weapon in the passing game. So when those three were healthy last year, you know, Ebron actually got the least amount of snaps out of that trio. So I do think Mo Alie-Cox could have a role, but again, an injury would have to play into it.
Only two more questions left, so and we'll get you out of here. We should probably touch on Jacoby Brissett with Andrew Luck's health in question. How has he been?
Jacoby Brissett has had a much better camp than he did spring, especially here in the second week of camp. I think he's been better. You know, he's a guy that definitely has a big fastball. And at times it's, okay, does he have enough off-speed touch stuff to make sure that he's running the entire offense like Frank Reich wants it to be run, especially those rhythm throws. You know, think of those West Coast sort of rhythm stuff that Andrew Luck and really Frank Reich showed last season. And not, you know, maybe exposing yourself to a really, really big vertical passing game, especially early in the season. But, you know, Frank Reich believes he's a top 20 quarterback in the NFL. I'm not willing to go there yet. You definitely see a competent quarterback that I think his second year in the system. If Andrew Luck were to miss a game or two, I think Jacoby Brissett can help you win. But I don't know if, you know, Andrew Luck's out for a substantial amount of time. I don't see Jacoby Brissett leading this Colts team to a playoff berth.
And for fantasy, though, the sky won't fall if Luck is not out there. There still might be some production and value in those Colts skill players with Brissett at the helm.
Yeah, that's a great question. It's hard to predict. I mean, I still think Marlon Mack and T.Y. Hilton are guys you would have to look at. You know, Jacoby Brissett does have a big arm. We saw him and Hilton hook up for about a 60-70-yard touchdown the other day in practice. You know, you would think if Brissett was in with that quarterback, you know, that tight end position would be a heavy position that he would also like to get involved, you know, as a guy that's just trying to kind of ease into an offensive game plan. But it's tough. I know full well with backup quarterbacks, they usually tend to shy away from those skill guys, but I still think Hilton and Mack have proven themselves in this league to be worthy of, you know, decently high draft pick if Jacoby Brissett is indeed a guy for a while.
Last thing, and we'll get you out of here. No one knows this team better than you, so what is your boldest fantasy prediction for the Colts in 2019?
Oh, wow, that's a good one. You know, part of me thinks that this defense could be a decent play. I know they play some really good quarterbacks in 2019, but having said that, I think there's more opportunities there to create turnovers, to get some sacks as well. And it's a defense that's evolved a bit personnel-wise. And getting different body types in there while still bringing back, you know, all 11 starters on the defensive side of the ball and adding Justin Houston. So they might be more of a, if they're on the waiver wire, I don't think I'd draft them that high, but if they're on the waiver wire, I think it could be a decent weekly bargain week in and week out, depending on their matchup. So, you know, I would think about that. And you know, obviously, like I said earlier, I think if Andrew Luck's healthy, I think he's an MVP candidate, which means big fantasy numbers from him as well. It's probably not a bold statement by any means, probably more so on the defensive side of the ball is a bold statement, but that's how I kind of look at the Colts right now.
Kevin, you've said it all. Where can we find all your stuff?
Yeah, it's 1075thefan.com. That's 1075thefan.com. And then KBowen1070 on Twitter. You can check me out there as well if you have any more questions.
Thank you so much, and until next year.
Definitely. Thanks for having me on again, David.
It was a lot of fun. I appreciate you taking the time. Talk to you next year. Thanks a lot.
Sounds good.
We are four episodes deep now, and we are keeping this train rolling. If you have made it here, congratulations. You just got the definitive guide to the Colts, and you are now dialed in.